extend this quorum.
Kathy, are you here?
Dan Varco here.
Councilor Briner here.
Councilor Martinez here.
And the mayor's here. We'll now have the Pledge of Allegiance, please. And Scott, would you lead us?
Pledge of Allegiance is to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Are there any added agenda items? Hearing none, I shall move to the consent agenda.
Mayor, I just might note that we do have a couple additional things under staff report. It won't take very long, but just to let everybody know, there's a couple things floating around.
And Mr. Mayor, on the consent agenda, I need to state possible conflict of interest with the bill payable to Alderman Kirby.
So noted.
And I also have a objection to some minutes.
Okay.
Go for it. And minutes of November 28th, special session. Number five, where it's asking the city manager to draft a resolution in support of the event on the 15th. I did not ask for that.
Mr. Mayor, I think what we discussed at the last meeting wasn't so much that we would have a resolution for the upcoming veterans Christmas events.
That's right.
But rather, we would have a resolution that we would structure that would say, you know, we endorse this as an annual event and sort of set the framework for that. From this point forward, we would do that as sort of our regular annual catechism of events.
Right.
Okay, not for that particular.
Not for that, but okay. but in the broader sense.
Right. I remember that one too.
Yeah.
And where was that, Stu?
That's side 5-1.
For
November 28th special session.
Okay.
Could you clarify how you want that, what you think that should say, or what do you mean to say on that one, on number five? Is it okay or no?
Number five.
Oh.
Let me go to that. The council asked the city manager Hassan to construct a resolution that would adopt the memorial as an annual event for each calendar year at a future date.
Well, and like I said, when we were discussing it, I don't know if it'll be an annual event.
Right.
So that's why I didn't ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the discussion. Mm-hmm. Of you know, maybe this is something we ought to have, and as we go down, I agree that we didn't ask for it. You didn't ask for it for this coming event, but the general discussion flowed that we should. This is probably something we should put in resolution form so that it would perpetuate itself. So
yeah.
Let me see how to say that.
And then who's going to do it?
The city.
City will do it.
Yeah, that falls on the city manager.
and of course, the city manager is then directed to work with Stu to get it accomplished.
I think it goes along with the same thing, like, do we have a veterans parade, or do we have a, you know, those kinds of events that get established in the city. Somebody has to do them, of course.
You know, the conversation was about establishing traditions.
Right.
That's really kind of where it went.
Still established. Okay.
You want to put in there that there was a
we
discussion?
We had that discussion privately,
right.
And I told you at that time to wait.
Well, And that's what we said, though.
This isn't blatant.
No, no, this isn't what was said. We should change it to that effect. Isn't that what you're asking?
Yes.
Okay.
Add a future date.
Add a future date. Are there any other comments for the consent agenda? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda as corrected.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve the consent agenda as corrected.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Can I get an aye in? Aye.
Let the record reflect that it's unanimous. At this time, we have item six as public comment. Are there any public comments? I saw Vicki's hand here first, please.
Okay. Vicki Jackson, New Court. After reading the Ben Bullitt, this statement is from Loretta Murphy and myself. After reading the Ben Bulletin article regarding Rob Ray, our first reaction was disbelief, followed by pure, unalterated anger. I was present at virtually every meeting since 2008 regarding Mr. Roy's project. It was immediately clear to us that his accusations were driven by something far different than the picture he is painting. His self-serving versions of events is not only slanderous, rumor-mongering, sadly familiar method employed by a few who want things their way, or else has to be stopped. We decided to get the truth of all this. We're not done yet, but here's some FYI. The City of Lapine has bent over backwards accommodating Mr. Roy and his LLC partners. Going back to 2008, passing resolution, ordinances, writing letters of support, even calling emergency council meeting, necessitated by his errors on his document he submitted. Just on phase one, the taxpayer citizens of Lapine gave him a gift of over $200,000 in tax abatements, documented on the council record by then Mayor Jenny Woodruff, and confirmed by us through NOAA, the permanent funding lender in phase one. The land was given to him by the county. Mr. Roy has over 20 LLCs, INCs, and other partnership that he profits from as the managing general partner of each. Phase one alone generates over $377,000 in tax credits per year for his investors. This is big business. And while yes, it is wonderful for Lapine to have the sorely needed affordable housing, it is not a gift from Mr. Roy's partners. Mr. Roy's made numerous commitments to improve the property, including parks, landscaping, sidewalks, or pathways. Now he wants to renege on some, and he is trying to use smoke and mirrors to escape telling the truth publicly. He admitted privately to a planning commissioner that he didn't have the money. So he castigates the city manager, propagating rumors of an on-site yelling confrontation by Steve that is an outright lie. He has help from a few others, most with their own axe to grind because they don't want to play by the same rules as the rest of us. Mr. Roy told the reporter who wrote the article that he was basically abandoning phase three, and Lapine was now going to lose the housing for all those poor single parents. There was never any such destination. We verified this. It was purely inflammatory. After doing some checking, the reporter told us he went back to Mr. Roy to clarify some of the statements, and lo and behold, Mr. Roy suddenly clammed up and refused to comment. The reporter intentionally put that in his article, assuming people would see it for what it was. This is a critical moment for the city and the council. You have a city manager with an impeccable reputation, over 30 years of experience in planning and developing for cities. You have ordinance and codes in place. Everybody says they want the city to have a bright future. Well, there's only one way to ensure that vision. You need to have one set of rules, and they must apply to everyone, no exceptions, no matter what you own, who you sleep with, bank with, drink with, or talk to, period. And if somebody takes a cheap shot, your staff should know their back is covered, and they won't wake up looking at the underside of a bus. Respectfully, Vicki Jackson and Loretta Murphy.
Thank you.
So I'm Charlotte DeHate. I'm the CEO from the Lapine Community Health Center, and I'm just here to support the request that's being made by Scott Acock.
You live in the city, Charlotte?
I'm sorry?
Do you live in the city? Your address, please?
I live on Daisy Loop. City resident, yes. And so I'm here to support Scott Acock on behalf of COIC regarding the transit request for the grant application and possible approval for sustaining Lapine Transit Services for the time period 2013 to 2015.
How are you planning on your first one? I was on the Ford Foundation, and we put up the sign that's by the city hall that's out here. I was really kind of disappointed not to see anything about the parade or the light parade or the bazaar that was going on. And I know that, you know, the idea originally was to have some places pay for banners and things, but I think on something like that, it needs to be used for that sort of thing also, because that's the first thing you see.
Thank you. Any further public comment? At this time, item 7, there's a $200 funding request from Linda Stevenson for sponsoring the Chamber's banquet music. Linda?
Linda Stevenson. I live on Huntington Road. I'm not inside the city limits, but I am president of the Lapine Chamber. Our chamber banquet is February 16th of 2013, and what this banquet does is it recognizes our citizens that have contributed to the working of the city, the businesses, the volunteers, different organizations, and every year we put on a recognition banquet. We do not have the funds in our budget, which comes strictly from our business people, to totally put on this banquet. And the businesses get hit so hard in here in Lapine, and I sit in on many of the council meetings, and the city itself gets hit with asking people for funding. What I am asking, last year we did not pay for a band for our music. This year we're having to pay $400 for that music. Things are just kind of escalating for us. But I have been told by several county commissioners that attend all of the banquets in Central Oregon that ours is primo. They enjoy coming to it. It is not stuffy, as one council person said. So I would like the city of Lapine to help us fund the music to make it a fun and interesting event, and at least try to come up with half the money that we need for our music to pay the musicians that will be at our banquet.
Thank you very much, Linda. I'd like to remind the council that this is a budgeted item at $200. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I just might point out that Linda did submit a funding application. Staff has reviewed it. The city has earmarked funds for this event. This exhausts this particular line item. but staff's recommendation is that you fund the request.
Okay, thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
I just have one question, if I may have. Linda, do you know the band?
Yes, of course. The band that we have, or that I have asked to play at our banquet, is the Out of Hand Band.
And is that country rock?
That is country, rock, bluegrass. I have many people that don't just care just for country, so I thought I'm going to find a band that does a little bit of everything. They're upbeat. They really get in, so I think it's going to be a very good program.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments? Questions? Discussion? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the budgeted item of $200 for the banquet band.
So moved.
Been moved?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? The record reflect it's unanimous. Thank you, Linda. Item number 8 is a discussion on public transportation and specifically grant application and possible approval for sustaining Lapine Transit Service for the period 2013-2015, presentation by COIC, Central Oregon Intergovernmental Council. And I think we have somebody here to talk to us about it.
Would you like me to come up,
please?
So for the record, my name is Scott Acock. I'm a transportation planner for the Central Oregon Intergovernmental Council. Cascades East Transit is a program of COIC, and Councilor Greiner has been your rep to the COIC board for 2 years, I believe, or maybe more. Thanks for the opportunity to speak to this. Ultimately, this is a request, but I wanted to give a little bit of background, if that's okay, before I make the request. So, as you guys know, the Central Oregon Intergovernmental Council is an entity created by the cities and counties of Central Oregon to provide services on behalf of the cities and counties. And we entered into the transit arena first as a planning entity back in 2007, 2008. And at that time, the focus was on trying to figure out how to make transportation more available to persons who didn't have other options. And this is particularly seniors, persons with disabilities, and low-income individuals and households. At that time, we agreed to coordinate funding to bring in, there was a whole bunch of federal money that was not coming into Central Oregon that we were allowed to receive, and no one was coordinating local match to leverage that federal money and create the transit system. We agreed to take on that function and then waited for someone to step up and say, and now we'll provide the transit system. And no one did. So the counties and some of the cities, this was before Lapine had ratified its creation, asked us to formally step up and take on this transit role. And originally the thought was, should we have separate transit systems in each community or one regionally coordinated system? The folks that were making these decisions decided on the latter because they felt that we could achieve some economies of scale, having, say, one call center versus a bunch, but that we could also, because the nature of the need for transit was regional, meaning folks needed to go from town to town. It wasn't just a local need. It was, you need to go to another town for work, for medical appointments, school, etc. So that's how we got into this business of providing transit. And right now in Lapine, what we offer is two basic types of services. I brought some updated schedules for anybody who wants them, and they detail where we're at as of October 1st in our transit service. So I can, if you guys want, I don't know if I should just leave it up front or pass them around or...
Sure, no. Pass them to each counselor.
Okay.
And the staff.
All right. And I have a few more. We're doing a huge print run of these, and we just haven't done that yet. So... But I have a few with me that I was able to.
I'd remind the council we have a packet in our or there's a packet of this in our city packet.
So that's our service right now. We have a local dial-a-ride service for trips within Lapine, and then we have a shuttle to Bend if folks are needing to get to Bend or beyond there to Redmond, Madras, Prineville, etc. And so in order to provide this service, we need a combination of, well, we need to find local match to then leverage the federal dollars. In the case of this grant that we're requesting the city enter into, every one local dollar leverages 9 federal dollars. So specific to this request, a $2,500 commitment by the city of Lapine would bring in almost 22,000 federal dollars per year. We've also asked Deschutes County, since our service area, when we had to cut our service in October, in every other community, we cut it back to the urban growth boundary. Here, we kept the service area beyond the UGB because cutting all the way back to the urban growth boundary would have removed service for almost half of our local customers in the Lapine area. So because we left it outside the city limits, it's about 55% city trips and 45% out in the county. We're also making a request to Deschutes County that they come up with $2,500 to match the city's $2,500. That would then leverage a further $22,000. So $22,000 for each match. So the reason why this has come on your radar in the last year or so is because when we first started the transit system, we went to all the local governments with the exception of Lapine. It had just been formed. It just didn't seem like the place to go to be asking for money to support transit. And so for the period of time since 2008 that we've been providing transit, the service in Lapine, the local dollars that we need to leverage those federal dollars, have actually come from primarily regional partners that we have, entities like the Central Oregon Council on Aging. We also used to receive a business energy tax credit to support transit service at the regional scale. Those are the kinds of, the Council on Aging still provides funding, but at about a quarter the size of what they originally provided. The business energy tax credit we can no longer sell because of changes in the way that program is administered at the state level. So we can no longer essentially subsidize the local match piece for Lapine by going elsewhere and asking other communities to do it or these other partners. We've run out of that ability to do it. And that's why this has been coming before you lately. And our request is that the city consider providing $2,500 in match for this grant. It's called an FTA 5310 grant. The period of the grant is a two-year period, as are most ODOT grants. It would start on July 1st, 2013, and pay for service through June 30th, 2015. So it would be a request for $2,500 a year for the two-year period. Deschutes County, we've already approached them, and the last word I heard was that they were waiting to see what was going to happen here before deciding if what they were going to do. They wanted to see what your decision was first. And so the request is to authorize staff to enter into this application and to provide the match. Just as a note, what we do with all the other communities that participate in this is we write the application, we do all the grant paperwork, we just send it to staff to review it and sign it, so that there's not an administrative burden on our partners. So if there's any questions or...
Dan? Just, you know, a quick question. It looks like the timeline for this is December 19th.
Yes.
Okay. And I have kind of a question about, it says the breakdown of riders and riders within the Lapine service area is approximately 55% city and 45% county.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the residents or is that the destinations?
That is where we've picked people up. So it tends to be residents, but sometimes it's a shop or something we're picking someone up from. So if we break down our trips that we provide here, we did a map and we figured out where everyone was coming from. 45% of those people and trips, it was almost the same. So think about a person takes numerous trips. But anyway, it was about 45% of the riders and 45% of the rides were outside of the city limits, and 55% were within, in terms of pickups.
Okay, so that's the pickup point.
Yes. Yeah.
So if somebody lives outside the city, comes in to buy Marcos shopping,
mm-hmm.
then they call again to be picked up? And
yes.
Taken home.
Yeah, but we removed those. So we did, we have a unique ID for each person. So we removed those, just a pickup that's in town to go back to, you see what I mean?
Right.
Because it's the same ID. So we filtered it, focused just on the unique riders. So when we looked at it for just unique riders, it was 55-45. And when we looked at it for unique rides, it was about the same as well.
Okay. And then, so it seems like this is this whole pursuit of this grant must be to satisfy the budget that you have for providing the service.
It is entirely to sustain the current level of service.
So a while back, a month or so ago, we were approached with the idea of trying to figure out how to get riders. You removed some of the area that
yes.
people were picked up, service area. Does this impact that at all?
This would not allow us to expand back out. This is only to sustain where we're at as of October 1. But if I may, we have been working with the Council on Aging, Central Oregon Veterans Outreach, and a small organization called Volunteers in Action, all of whom have pools of volunteers. And we are working up a plan with them to develop a volunteer-based rural transportation system, again, for seniors, people with disabilities. I'm not sure about the low-income piece yet, to give them access. Anybody who lives outside of our service area, as of October 1, our service area, would then be eligible to get a ride brokered to them through this new volunteer transportation system. I don't have any details. I can't tell you when it'll be online. I can just tell you that we're all very excited, that we think we're going to be able to pull it off, that ODOT has indicated an interest in helping to fund it, and we've got some folks who know folks who are working on foundations as well. So the goal, so that's separate from this, but our goal is to try to figure out a way, and we can work with local organizations to pull this off, and we're going to have to, but to develop a large pool of volunteers that have said, I'm available on X day at X time for X purpose, and to match those people with folks calling into our call center who are desiring a ride. And there's a lot of details to be worked out, but we're shooting for a target start date of July 1st, but I probably shouldn't even said that. It's all very early.
I just have a last question for Steve, if I could. Do we have anything budgeted for this kind of thing, Steve?
Well, no. What we did last year, if you recall, is we had a public hearing, and we heard about bus ridership. And the need last year, if you recall, was that the framework for bus ridership didn't work for a lot of people because they had hours that were outside that realm. And so the city and the county both chipped in $2,500, and I don't think last year was necessarily budgeted. It was just, we want to do this, and so you did it. And Scott wrote the agreement for us, for the city and the county, and I believe you leveraged the $5,000 into $45,000 or $46,000.
It's the same grant program.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, he's back this year asking for the same similar consideration, only it's changed a little bit, if I were, and that is the experience, and I don't put words in Scott's mouth, but the experience has been that, yes, the wider hours of operation that were afforded by that grant last year helped some people, but overall didn't do very much. And so the request this year is to go back to the hours that were in place before the expansion and to fund it at the same level that we did last year. And my only concern here, I think, from the city's purse perspective, is a multi-year commitment. I have a hard time with that. But maybe that's what we have to do. I don't know.
Yeah, that's certainly, we've heard that in other cities. You know, why are they doing this on a two-year basis? But we're not able to, it's ODOT's grant, and it's a biennial grant. So we're stuck with it.
Yeah. So that's the story.
Do I remember correctly, because I wasn't on the council, but I was at that meeting when Commissioner was here, and he kind of waited for us to make up that amount because he would make sure we met the 5,000, whether we put in 1,000 or 2,000, whatever. Do we know if that's still a possibility, if financial restraints say that maybe we can more comfortably be $1,500 a year? I don't know, I'm just pulling that out. With that, you know, I'm just wondering if the other part is still there. Commissioner, the county would be able to match that and equal the funds.
I don't have any information to help answer that question. You know, one of the options that I tried to give options in our request and staff report was, there are other places to go for local match. There's the county, there's community organizations, there's something I haven't thought of. I don't really like going this route or even suggesting that you do, but it is true that there is no actual contractual obligation until the IGA is signed. So what we're dealing with right now is a grant deadline, and you have to put in the grant that this is the amount of match that we are claiming, but there isn't any actual obligation to receive the money or perform the service until the IGA is signed, which comes around April, May. So it is, you know, possible that we could do some work to try to find other sources. But the problem is, if we don't get the application in now, we can't do anything. We lose the opportunity entirely. And the federal dollars, we wouldn't be able to leverage. They'd go back to the statewide pool. And I can say pretty certainly we would have to start looking at service cuts again for this community, which is not, I'm just saying, that's just our reality. We can't figure out any other way to do it at this point.
Counselors? Stu?
I saw Van down there with his calculator.
Oh. Yeah, I started up here.
Were you working on
it? I thought about it, and then I decided not to. So.
Okay, you were asking the same questions I was going to ask, and I thought you were trying to make some number of work.
Yeah, I guess one thing I was wondering is if there is an option for us to help with less than that?
The amount that we're requesting is what we identified as the total amount, so the 5,000 between the city and the county is what would make us whole and keep us from doing service cuts. Now, if it's 1,000 from the city and 4,000 from the county, or 1,000 from each and 3,000 from some other place, it doesn't matter, but the 5,000 would enable us to leverage the total amount of money that we need to keep this thing going at the level that it's at now. And I know it's a tough position where you've got this grant. We learned of the grant, we knew it was coming, but we didn't know the details or when it was going to be announced until it was right after Thanksgiving. And then the county then has to decide when they're going to request applications. So this is all we immediately called Steve and started talking with him. This is all very last minute, and it's that way across the region right now. I was at Prineville City Council last night.
I think what makes it hard for us is that, you know, we put our budget together, mm-hmm. you know, and try to live with it, and then not expecting this kind of thing, and so maybe we should have.
Well, no, so let me, so on that, this wouldn't be take place until July 1st, 2013.
The dollars?
Yes. So this is a request for next year's, well, the next 2 years, fiscal years.
Oh, okay. I guess I thought...
Not out of this year's.
So the 25 we had put in previously is covering us up until...
Through June 30th.
That helps.
Yeah, so that this is not in addition to that. This is a new period of time we're talking about. It's just that the grants are due now.
John? Well, I think everybody knows my position on it. I feel that that the city needs the transportation here. A lot of the businesses in this town receive benefits from this money and the transportation that we provide. And it's my opinion, I'd like to see that the city commit to it and possibly pursue means to raise the money through maybe another grant from someplace, some matching money. But I really feel it's something that the city needs.
My thoughts are, you know, we're moving to burden the budget committee for this coming year. We already recognize a number of budget items that will come before us in the economic development area. And we have other areas of impending need for infrastructure and all of that that will impact our budget come the budget cycle, and it concerns me that we are going to commit to bringing this to the budget cycle as a done deal this coming year. So it worries me that we're committing monies that we don't know we've got, that we may at that point in time decide that, wow, we need this $5,000 at this location versus transit. So when you know, there's no doubt there's a need in the city of Lapine to this discussion about having a transit system. But there's also priorities that dictate that we have discussions about other areas that in the long run may be a higher priority than transit. So that's where my concerns lie. I would also I'll leave it at that.
If I may wind my brain backward to prior to me being on the council, I remember at that time when we were all talking, I was concerned about the $2,500 being something that we may have to revisit on down the line, and that Tony had said at that point, I'm saying it again, that he would be able to make up whatever we couldn't. So whether we could put 500 in or 1,000 in, he would help us with that rest. And hindsight is always great. I wish, you know, we had it and can do it. But I wish there was some way we could double check on that. I don't know what to do with that.
May I say that I do know one thing. I know that at this point in time, the county commission has not decided yes or no to this. I also know that Commissioner Unger has stated that he would be in favor of it, and that's all I know. And that was at the $2,500 amount. So that's all I know.
Okay.
I would caution the council that, one, this is projecting money ahead from a budget cycle that's not been in place. We've already seen what has happened to our budget this year from all of the other infrastructure things that have come to us that have caused us to reach into our budget in these little places where we think we've got some money we can spare, just to grab a hold of something that is a high priority to the city. And the same thing is going to happen next year. We are a city that does not have the set infrastructure, the set spending, the set income that allows us to say, well, we know we can do this. We need to be cautious every time we deal with money, especially with the parameters we're looking at right now about laying this on a budget cycle that we don't have a good handle on at this point in time, knowing that we've got so much other stuff coming in. And maybe I could ask staff, Steve, to remunerate some of these things that we have coming down the road where we're going to have to step up.
We've just made a lot of commitments out there. For instance, one that you're going to see tonight is an ODOT grant. It's not an ODOT. It's an ODOT project. It's an overpass.
The Wikia.
And you folks approved it. Give me direction to go work with the state to bring that to conclusion. And we've done it. And as we did it, then I discovered that there was an obligation, a financial obligation on the city to the tune of at least $90,000. And it's back before you this evening, but it's just every time I turn around, there's a gotcha out there. And understandably so. You know, we're a city, and I think people want us to be full-fledged day one, but incrementally we've got to get there. And it's just real easy to overwhelm our little piggy bank if we don't say no as often as we say yes. And I don't want to judge this particular item, but other than to just say that every time I turn around, I'm asked for $5,000, $10,000, and we just can't afford that kind of generosity given our limited revenues. Or if we do, we're simply going to run out of money before the end of June. We'll end up, you know, just in poverty, impoverished.
Any other comments?
I'm just wondering if your deadline's when?
19th.
Wednesday of next week. Yeah.
Well, I think it would be only fair for you to go back to those folks and say, hey, we can't operate under such short notice. Yeah. I mean, I know it sounds impossible, but it's just as impossible as for us to try to come up with that money on mm-hmm. such short notice.
Yeah, another one would be, ODOT, why do you always have grant applications around at the same time, all of them, and all of them during the holidays? Mm-hmm. But so far, we don't have any leverage over any of that. And they keep them very firm. Their deadlines are firm. Now, this deadline, I should note, ODOT's deadline to the counties is January 18th. Deschutes County's deadline to all of us, because the counties administer this grant program, they take the applications in. So Deschutes County's deadline, they set it at December 18th. So because they have to run it through a committee and it's got to be reviewed and then it's got to go before the Board of County Commissioners before January 18th. So that's...
Okay, then that's almost the same thing that we have to do.
Yeah.
So
right.
It shouldn't be incumbent on us to make a decision tonight. we're just, you know, first hearing about this tonight.
And we talked about this, if I may. We talked about this. We've had a passel of these experiences in the last 3 months. You know, we had the October ODOT main funding for 13
yes.
through 15.
The enhanced program.
You know, set this date. And you,
right.
And we, our city manager broke records putting that all together, and then the next one came up, and it was what, the 27th of of November, we had the STIP
enhance it program.
You know, and
we had no time to respond, so I had to go and pull some outside resources that we paid for, Kelson and Associates, to come in and help us, because otherwise we wouldn't have been able to meet the timeline. Because they gave us like 30 days, and it was imperative that we had a first-class grant application timely. But you know, we knew about the last minute, and again, it just wears us out. It doesn't so much wear us out, as it just throws us off guard financially, and still we're accountable to this general public in their back pocket. Ensure its integrity.
Well, hate for you to take the brunt of this, but
it's totally fine. I mean, this again, this doesn't. This is we see the opportunity, we just have to sort of jump. And one of the things that I've talked with our manager about is we never know when these are going to be announced, the actual date, but we know generally the season that they're coming. And so I'm going to be building a calendar so that we can have, we will have already come before you, say, in October or whatever, to say, we don't know when it's happening, but we know this is on the way the next time around. That doesn't help now. But I'm just saying, rather than waiting till we get the official announcement, making sure that we're a little more ahead of the game. Because we do know generally the season, November, December, these grants are going to come out every other year. So at least next time we can be a little more proactive.
Scott, what happens if both the city and the county turn down this grant application? What happens to the transportation system?
So we would have, that would be about $45,000 in deficit per year when you add all that together. And so we'd have to find $45,000 of cuts here, because everywhere else we've figured it out. We've gotten it covered now. My last meeting was earlier today, and so we would have to find that. I can't say what that would be, because we'd want to go through a process with you and with the public stakeholders to figure out where we would make those cuts.
So in other words, whatever services we have now would not be here. Not all of it.
Not all of it. I think the total cost for the services that affect Lapine is actually somewhere in the range of $250 to $270 a year. I could be wrong. I don't have that in front of me. It might be closer to $200. So let's say it's $200. So that's approximately a quarter. One of the implications is we're running locally, our service is 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. The shuttle runs, the first run is at around 7, the last one returns at 6 p.m. Cutting further into those hours changes fundamentally the service that you're providing, because we're at a minimum ability to serve those who want to go to school or work. We would go into a service model that wasn't really for that purpose. It would be more groceries, medical, more middle of the day types of trips. But I, you know, that's just me speculating as to how we would deal with this. We could also, the other option would be to further cut the service area, unless Deschutes County came up with their money, because then we would then maintain service outside of the city, which would be very odd, and have to cut service within the city, if that makes sense. It's hard to know what we'd be looking at. We'd have to go through process, yes.
But you'd still pick those people up out in the county area and bring them into town.
If Deschutes brought, came up, yes.
That's what I mean.
Yes, we would have, we
then
would.
Then you wouldn't pick them up and take them back out.
Well, I don't know what we would do. That's the thing. It doesn't make any sense.
You'd get a bad.
We'd strand them. I don't know what we would do, to be honest. I guess you're right. Probably service area would not be it. Probably be service times. I'm not sure. I really don't know. We'd have to have these conversations to figure it out.
I guess one more comment around, Stu's comments. It looks to me like the county looked at their schedule and said, oh, wow, we need all this time, so we'll take it out of the front end. I'm being a little facetious and probably shouldn't be, but it is a prop. Scott, I know you understand. I there's no doubt in my mind that you recognize where we are sitting here today. If we had the kinds of money that we could fund this whole thing, I'd be the first one out here.
Mm-hmm.
But I have had many conversations with the city manager and at the council itself about the things where we are going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the valuable discussions of setting priorities to know what we can really afford.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not anybody here that hasn't heard me say that we've got $1.98 per thousand, which is one of the lowest tax, I guess it's the lowest in the county, in the county, in Central Oregon.
Maybe the state. Yeah. It might be the lowest in the state.
And when you really look at that, if it wasn't for outside funding from the power company and for all of the franchise fees, we can barely pay our staff and just run the city hall and all that with the money that comes off of taxes. So,
I honestly don't like making these kinds of requests. Again, we're CYC, we're formed by the cities and counties. We exist to serve the cities and counties. Personally, I'm not paid, none of my salary comes out of this money, out of the operations. I have planning grants, so this is not about me in any way or anything like that. I totally understand and respect whatever all of the councils we serve decide.
And there's not one of us that doesn't recognize there is a need.
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to priorities and to budgetability and money. So,
I'll just note that, whatever we are able to come up with in local match from whatever source, we leverage that to the full extent we can. So if you were to decide to come up with a lower amount than a request, we would use it. We would figure out a way to use it. The problem is the grant application deadline. You know, we've got to put a certain amount of match, and then we're stuck with it from that point on. So, but you know.
Actually, Anthony, at the budget.
Well,
you're looking, I'll ask the manager to give him a certain amount, because this is next year.
Right.
In our budget process, if we can give him maybe not the full amount, but a smaller amount to budget. I mean, is it even feasible to even think that way?
Well, I have a hard time thinking that way,
just
because of all the things that we've been asked to address recently. And two, because, you know, we set up a budget committee. We start out with the goals for the year. And this wasn't one of those 17 goals.
Okay, then that.
And so that's the other consideration. Certainly, if the people of this community have this as a high priority, then as we establish our goals for this year coming up, then we should fold that into our budget. And then there's some certainty that that's something that we'll sponsor. But right now, it's not there.
Um, We can either have a motion to table this. I understand, and I'm totally understanding we have a 19th of December deadline, or we can have a motion to fund it at a, or not fund it.
Or we can not have any action and it dies for lack of motion. And that,
then I'll ask it in that fashion. Is there a motion at this point in time to proceed with this issue? Hearing none, I will thank Scott for coming and presenting this to us.
And what we will do before making cuts is come down here, meet with folks, see what we can do, see if there's anything we can do, and talk with Steve. Come back before council if need be, because at least now we know, you know, ahead of time. So I can at least make that commitment at this time.
All right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Scott, thank you very much for coming.
Yep. Thank you.
Item 9 is discussion about the BLM property located at the intersection of Huntington Road and First Avenue or Street, known as Parcel C.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm bringing this as just more of a discussion item. We've had some emails back and forth. As you know, that we're in the process of having a land swap because of a congressional action. There's three parcels of land that are here in the Pine area that are being transferred through the BLM to the city. And one of these parcels is known as Parcel C. And it is sort of at the intersection of First Avenue and Huntington. It's 2 or 3 acres of land. I've had a discussion with Todd, if I can stand right here.
The director of the library?
And his name is Todd Dunkelberg, who's the library director. And I've talked to Bob
Schultz,
who is the director of the Parks and Recreation District. And there is, at this time, a lease agreement between the library district and BLM, and it's been in place since about 2000. And my original thoughts were that, because as a condition of us receiving the land, BLM has said that the lease agreement would go away and that the city ought to enter into a lease agreement with the library district. But in talking to the library district, they don't want all that land. They just want their proportionate share. And they have sort of a sublease agreement right now with the Park and Recreation District. And so my thought was, well, we'll enter into two lease agreements with them with the idea that at some point then there would be a transfer of land to them. We could have a lease so that there's continuity until such times as it's transferred, because a transfer also would require a survey, deeds, recordations, that sort of stuff. But then as I thought about it further, there's also a cost involved in all this federal transfer process. It's called NEPA, in which they go out and they do environmental reviews. And my understanding right now that the preliminary cost estimate for the three properties to do the NEPA review is about $69,000. And if you recall, the city budgeted for this year, $20,000 is our proportionate share of those costs. And that was just grabbing a figure out of the air, but knowing that some of that cost, or knowing that that likely would come our way, there'd be analysis and we'd have to pay our fair share. And so just a conversation out loud with you folks, and that is, if we're entering into a lease agreement with the idea that in turn we're going to transfer these lands, and these lands are going to become the library district's land, a portion of it, and the park and recreation district's lands, a portion of it, whether or not we should incur those costs of the NEPA study for whatever costs they are associated with Parcel C, or as part of them acquiring the land and all of its rights, that they should assume some of that cost burden. And I don't know the answer there. It would seem to me that they're getting something of value. They should bear some of the burden of the cost.
I'd like to make a comment first, I think this is well taken. What the city manager is trying to say or has said here is that this property has basically been planned to go to those entities, and if it's going to go that way, I don't see why the city should bear the burden of the fees associated with getting the land that's going to arrive with somebody else. Because right off the bat, the county is going to pay a bunch of this money to get this property to the park and rec and the city, and then they're going to want their money back. They've already said that. So I support the idea, and would ask that we that in any plans we have as we proceed to deed this land over, any expenses associated with that should also follow the deed.
And one more thing I might note, as we do our transportation plan, one of the things that's very important to the city is that we start to have roads that go through and connect. And I think that Second Avenue should connect through to Huntington. I mean, it's already there. I think that would help connectivity to the park. And so I'm just throwing that out as that when and if this transfer would occur, that I would see the city reserving Second Avenue for our purposes.
I could also comment on that. We all know that street was abandoned by the county before the city was incorporated, and that's really why the ramp that's going under that, coming off of Huntington, is in the shape it is, and only through some very generous efforts on the part of the county did we ever get a asphalt laid in there. For years it went by that they cut the curb and laid it that way, but they weren't going to put the asphalt in there because it wasn't a street. But they've become very generous and have done that. But I would say that our STP should include a provision in there to connect that. It would serve the city well. Ambulances and all that kind of stuff that would have better access to there.
And one more thing while we're on the subject of cost burden. The legislature is about to convene. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't hurt us at all, or hurt us and the county at all, to approach our legislators and ask them to see if they could find some money to help with the costs associated with the NEPA study, given that the county doesn't have a lot of money, the city doesn't have a lot of money, and the rodeo doesn't have a lot of money, and the fair people don't have a lot of money. So I don't know how you feel about that, but perhaps we should think about that strategically, and now'll be the time to be thinking about it, because they're going to convene here pretty quick. And I just throw that out as a comment, too.
And I would say, if I could, for the council's benefit, I've had two of our representatives say that they would be willing to help with that.
So what would we need to do as a city in order to invoke that assistance?
Approach our representatives.
Just call them up on the phone? Is there more to it than that? Do we need something formal?
What do you think?
No.
I don't think
conversation.
So.
Just like this started.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, would you want to do that?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
All right. Would you want me to participate in that with the mayor or something? I'm just trying to pull this through.
Well, I'd be glad to.
Or the mayor?
To join you.
Okay.
In approaching it.
Well, we could certainly go over there hat in hand. I mean, nothing ventured, nothing gained. Okay. Thank you. That's all on this particular at this time.
Okay.
I plan to have conversations with both Parks District and the Library District.
I think it would be good for the council to come to a consensus that we are going to move to pass these lands through to these two agencies, Park and Rec and the Library.
I think we need to let the city manager have his conversation with them and then come back and do that.
Well, I'm just...
So we know for sure where they're at.
They may balk at the fact that the transfer also has with the cost obligations.
Okay. Dan?
I'm sorry. I just had a couple of things on this. I noticed in the Land Transfer Act that it on this parcel C, it indicates that it can be used, you know, what purposes it can be used. And it's public library, public park, or open space. Does a street count as open space?
Well, where it is, it's sort of it's an attribute of a park. I mean, when you say, because there used to be a park and recreation district, he used to be a park and recreation planner, and so I would apply for grants, and the grants were only available for park and recreation purposes, and maybe in order to have that park, you need to have a road to it, and so then you would put that in there, and generally speaking, a road is considered, especially if it's a road that is helpful to the park, is considered an attribute of the park, so I don't see that being an issue.
Okay, good. Okay. We just wouldn't want to risk
No. And quite frankly, if they came back to their pushback and said no, then certainly I don't think we would do anything reckless to because as I understand it, if we don't follow the Land Act, there's a reversionary clause to come back. We're not going to do anything that's irresponsible.
Okay, and then the other thing that has bothered me for a while on this Land Act is that property is described as 10 acres.
Yeah.
Well, and it isn't. It's somewhere between 2 and 3 acres.
It's 2.35.
Okay, so there you go.
It's much smaller than what the U.S. government thinks it is.
Well, you know, the federal government is big. Probably 10 is the smallest denomination they have now.
So typically, a way that this probably would happen is just an escrow that just passes through at one time, you would save a lot of cost. There could be a partition made at the same time that it doesn't seem like it would have to be all that expensive to accommodate the whole thing if it's done in one, rather than, you know, accepting the property and then a year later doing the other things.
No, and I didn't think that the actual transfer would be where the cost would be.
Yeah.
But if they have to go out and do cultural analysis and see if, you know, there's an elk herd that runs through there, or, you know, there's a lost city underneath, or, you know, that there's a rare species of endangered something in the tree, that's where the cost is going to be.
They may find artifacts there from the original schoolhouse that was there.
Mr. Mayor, don't you think that if you approach the state, that it would be advantageous to have a representative of the library, a representative of the park and rec department, kind of add their weight to your efforts to convince them to give us some money?
I think sometimes it's better to have a small group in a private conversation. But granted, they can be well aware and receive phone calls and stuff and support, but as a general rule, I would say that you'd approach them over a cup of coffee but the rest of it would be appropriate. Sure.
Well, I agree, over a cup of coffee, but if the more people that's there, the more weight you carry, I think.
Well, invite them to the library.
Yeah, right.
Have a meeting there.
Yeah. Good thoughts.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Kevin.
Item number 10, employment approval.
Mr. Mayor, I just hold off on this item. We're still in the negotiation phase. I thought we'd be further along than we are, but we're not. So
okay.
If we just bring that back.
Okay. We'll bring item 10 back at some point in time. Number 11, acknowledging and amending the cooperative improvement agreement on U.S. Highway 97 with Hip Junction Development. That was in your packet, and staff?
I brought this back to you this summer. You approved it. You directed that that I work with the city attorney and together that we finalize this negotiation, which we just recently did on today. And normally, when you give that kind of direction, then you don't see it again. But in my mind, there was an additional city obligation, and I alluded to it a little while ago, and it's on page 3 here, and I've got it highlighted, and I just wanted so that you knew that when you approve this action that would afford an overpass, it says the city will be responsible for the payment of city utility relocation to the extent required, and that the estimated maximum cost would be approximately $90,000. It seems to me the public needs to know that you folks need to know that there is this cost that we didn't have any idea when we went into the final negotiations that it would be there. And where it presented itself is, as you know, this summer we took over the sewer and the water district, and as part of that we took over their obligations. And they had previously put sewer or water lines in 97. And there was a provision when they did that, by way of a permit, that in the event that they had to move with that at some future date, that they had the obligation for the costs associated with that. And as we look at the overpass and where it will be, it's likely that the sewer and the water lines will have to be removed and adjusted, and then that begs the question, what would that cost impact be? And it's likely in this neighborhood. So, okay. More than anything, I just want you to know about it. And unless I get some other direction that says, you know, hold the phone, Jones, or, you know, whatever, then we'll just proceed as we have. Okay.
Council, that's consensus?
Are for him to doing receive? Business.
Yes.
We assume okay. It.
Thank you, Steve. Item number 12 is discussion on If I Were Mayor 2013 program. You'll find a packet in your explanation and a group of documents in your packet that explains it. It's pretty much on that first the cover letter to it that I've attached. The flyers and that you'll note are part of are from last year, from the 2012 program. And I've got to tell you that when I went to the mayor's conference, and the students that did the three categories, as I've outlined here, came up and made their presentations, they were awesome. They were just to think of how this can impact a school or can bring about students doing something like this, it was awesome. So are there any questions on the letter that I, the cover letter to the packet? I know we basically approved it last year. There is $300 in the budget to fund the awards part here at this level. I've talked to the South County Director of Schools, Jim Bowen, who is the principal of the middle school, and he thinks it's a fantastic idea, and will support it through the school system here. So,
we discussed it and we put money in the budget. Go for it.
Yeah. Okay. One thing I like about it, I'm looking at this official entry form, and it says, one of the very top paragraphs says, "What does a mayor do?" I think it's an excellent opportunity. You know, this could appear, you know, promotion of this could appear in various places, but it would be a good education for people to really, because people have all kinds of expectations of what a mayor does. You see it on TV, you know, and there's a strong mayor approach, and then there's a mayor system like we have, and there's all these unrealistic expectations sometimes, and I think this would be a good educational opportunity, not only for the kids involved, but anybody that might consider being involved, their parents, anybody that's paying attention, to really understand, you know, and it outlines it real well in that paragraph, what the mayor's role is. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a very good way for us to help with the proper expectations in the community, and even for us here on the council, to know what the mayor's role is.
I think it's a grand
continuing education.
Okay. Thank you very much, and I shall proceed. Budget financials update.
Well, you have, you know, we've talked about enhancing the budget process two ways. One, to make it simple so that as you read it, you did not struggle with it. And I think we're still struggling to make it simple, but I think we have a budget for you for the month. And where we are to date, the year, by category, reflecting input from last month. And we have the general fund, the public works fund, the tourism fund, the water fund, and the sewer fund, and we've broken them out. And we show the monthly amount. We show you that we're 42% of the way through the year.
Is this it?
Yeah, it's 5B11. We show you the annual budget for the line item. We show you a variance, where there's a variance. And then we show you the budget percentage to date. So one of the things you can do is just rapidly look at a line item and look the percentage budget to date and then total of the year and see that we're 42%, and then look down at your budget items and see how they agree or disagree. One of the things we didn't do this month, but we're going to do the next month, is we're going to, by line item, is we're going to have a little brief sentence below each of the line items that just says, overall, we're fine. We've got distress. There is a particular item that you need to pay attention to. But, and correct me if I'm wrong, Lori, so far, we're fine. We're in good shape as we speak. But I think part of that is just this continued effort to be prudent by saying no. I think it's really hard to say no. But, you know, it's we've got to live within our means. And we're seeing distress all over the country where communities, their eyes were bigger than their pocketbook, and they found themselves in distress. And one of the greatest ways to have cynicism with your public is not to have your budget in line. It was very nice yesterday when we had Chris Marco come, and we were talking about a rate study, and that rate study will be coming before you in February. I believe February 8th you'll see it. But he said, you know, we've done a really good job of maintaining the reserves, and we've got good sound fiscal propriety, and we had a room full of 25 or 30 people, and it was really nice for them to all hear that same message. And when I was at the gym today, I had a couple of them that were here come up to me, and they go, it's really nice to hear that we have a good budget, and we just want to keep it that way. All right.
Steve, what does variance mean?
Borrowing?
It is the difference between what we've actually spent and what the annual budget reflects.
So what's the difference?
Explain that again.
It should be the difference between what we've actually spent and what the annual budget is. Excuse me.
So we're calling that
variance.
So we're
versus spent
in total revenue, or 500,000 over different 505,000. What's that?
It doesn't look right.
Does it?
Well,
no. I think there's something wrong with the math.
If our annual budget is 548,799. And we're at 42% year to date, and the variance is 505,205.
I wonder if it took the first month. I'll have to look at that variance and see why it looks so weird.
Okay, so it takes a little more work.
Yeah, we're still
okay
figuring this out.
And it usually goes from the first to the current.
Hmm?
It usually goes from the first to the current.
Right, it should. So actual minus budget should be variance. And I think what it did, it didn't do what it was supposed to in the formula. The formula's wrong.
So the budget percentage to date.
The budget percentage per date?
That showed the far right column, that shows 47.7%. So does that mean that's based on
the
dollars
year to date? 42% of the year, it's 278,000, and so we are at 47.7% of our budget amount of 584,799.
Okay, I get that. Okay,
which means that by the year, by the 6 month, we'll be 50%. So then hopefully we'll still be at 50% of the budget. Does that make sense? If you were line going across and just looking at that, 42%, we're a little over the 42% by about 5.7%.
Okay.
And then the other thing that Steve and I were working on was to give you like the beginning cash reserve from the budget, so that when you look at the budget, it's even in reserves, in revenue and expenses. So basically the budget's gonna give you what you have in these little books over here. So we'll have our beginning balance cash reserve in each of the funds. And so it'll be even. The revenue will equal the expenses in the budget. Because that's the way it was. So we'll fix it, and I'll send it out to you tomorrow. And you can have a better idea about what it might look like after we kind of play with it a little more.
And a minus is a good thing. Are we still doing that way? No.
Yeah, minus is a good, no. Well, a minus means we didn't budget for it.
Okay.
Like if you look at capital outlay.
Last time we talked about, we have to look at it different where the minus is actually.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Any question?
It'll take more than 10 minutes to understand.
Well, and I think they need to go back and work on it, so it's we can belabor it here if we want to.
Right.
But we don't.
No.
Okay. Moving right along.
All right.
I have one more, just quick question if I could.
Okay, sure.
Do you think most of the revenue has already come in from the tax base?
We've gotten a fair chunk of it. We've gotten $206,971 to date, which is, I'm sorry. Oh, it's not on here. It's not on here. I just remember seeing it because it came in December. It got posted in December.
So it wouldn't show here. Okay.
No,
sure,
because this is November.
That's right, sure.
But we've got...
If you send something out, that might be nice to know.
Okay, I can update it through whatever day tomorrow is, the 13th, and you can see what revenue we've gotten in for taxes, because we've gotten a big chunk.
But do we know what our total expected revenue is?
Right, it should be right there in the budget. We should be getting in $225,999.
Okay.
Oh, we have gotten it. I'm sorry. God, I can't even read this. It's so small. Yeah, we have gotten in $206,971. I'm sorry. It's right there, Stu. So, yeah, it's in there. We've gotten a lot of it already. Because a lot of people pay in November.
Yeah.
And so we got a lot of money in this time. You can see in November we got in $199,309 in the taxes already. And year to date we've gotten the
$206,971. Good. Okay. I'll move on to
other matters.
Are there any other matters? Being none? At this time I will make comments regarding our executive session. The executive session was held to discuss the performance of the city manager, Steve Hassan. And it had to do with concerns expressed by public concerning interactions with the city manager. The Little Deschutes Lodge letter was a combination of other areas of public concern, was with other areas of public concern. We had a great opportunity this evening to explore with the city manager and listen to his responses to items of public concern, and we find them acceptable. I think it's important that the city understand as we are moving forward, we're in our approaching what, our seventh year, and it's a new phase in the community. The community needs to understand the city's in this transition phase, and there'll be a lot of changes. We'll move forward to a time of taking over our own code enforcement, our own planning, and that's in the very near future as a result of us having our comp plan approved. So there were areas of general performance concerns, they were addressed, and the city council 100% supports our city manager, and we have committed to the city manager to assist him in succeeding. We will again review progress and performance in approximately 3 months which will coincide with his annual or his first year of time with the city. And with that, I will move to public comments.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, Council, John Thomas, Holiday Drive. You know, that's really good news, and that's really good positive news that I just heard. Is there some sort of mechanism the city has to report good news back versus bad news all the time coming from north to south? Is there a way maybe that we could shift some of that good news from the south back to the north and maybe have someone write an article in the bulletin possibly and say and report back some of the things. Lapine, we're down here sometimes kind of on our own. We're a strong, independent little nation down here in Lapine. But you know, sometimes we need to get some of this news going back so that the rest of the county can see all the good things we're doing here in this town. I'm not volunteering anyone else. If someone in the city, I'm also a volunteer on the Planning Commission of the city. Some of us maybe could get together and write some of these articles and report back.
Thank you very much, John. Additional public comment?
Vicki on Main Court, Vicki Jackson. I totally agree. I think something needs to go out to the public because as it stands right now, it basically badmouth your city manager. You really need to let the public, the community, and the people who read the Venn Bulletin, how you stand, what you think of you, however. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any further comments? Hearing none, I will go to staff reports.
Well, I only have 12 hours worth of staff report items here, but I think I might be able to get it down in 9 hours. The first item on...
Try 1 minute.
Okay. The end.
That was good.
The first item is Lige transition process. I think we need to talk about this quite a bit as time goes on, but... There has been a Lige board, which is the industrial group that is overseeing the industrial park for about 16 years. They've done a good job. They've built out all the infrastructure. They've got some of the industrial businesses in. And now the county has said we want to go in a new direction. And so the Lige board, the city and the county are working together, and we've got Rick Allen as sort of our coordinator to help facilitate outcomes, and we're looking at different models. But we did have a Lige conversation yesterday, and I thought it was very productive. We had our county commissioner here. Our county commissioner sort of pledged that he would go back and work with his counterparts and see if he couldn't have the county set aside $10,000 for the next 6 months as a starting point toward the possibility of having a person come on board to help with our economic development. And then the question then arises, just another budget question, and that is, would the city be receptive to a $10,000 match to complement the $10,000 that it looks like the county is willing to step up the plate with? Then also make a formal statement about that we support economic development and we support this process and we support the county's participation in this too. So as to give them some strength and purpose as they determine to provide for these revenues. And you should have an email from Rick Allen that you received today that kind of enumerates some of the possibilities here and some of the things that he'd like us to consider. Obviously, we did not advertise this for any kind of a formal match, so I think the best you could do this evening is get some kind of indication that you're supportive of it, and in general, the whole economic development transition process. And again, that land over there is a real gold mine. We are sitting on a gold mine here. And soon enough, someone's going to discover it, and we're going to be very fortunate for that.
I would ask the council's, I think a consensus at this point in time would probably serve us well. Any comments from the council?
I think one of the things that are important to us here is that we seek out ways to get additional jobs and employment in our community. And this is one way to at least work in that direction. So, and I think the city has a responsibility to our citizens to continue to try to enhance our employment base. The details about how much we dedicate is probably up to the next council.
I think that's safe to say. Don, any comments? Okay, Stu?
Well, I think we're all in favor of it, so I won't bore everybody with the same speeches that we've been hearing over and over, so I'm for it.
Okay. I think the council has shown consensus to move forward in the fashion that we see outlined here in this email from our, we'll call it, coordinator. And with that,
could I?
Go ahead.
I'm just a little bit curious about this. In this package, it looks like a grant form has been completed or started or something here by RIC. Now, is this, it looks like it's, the applicant is the City of Lapine. Now, is that in the works, or what is this? What's the status?
Go ahead.
I rely on the city manager too to confirm this, but The county commissioner commented in our meeting, was it yesterday?
Yesterday,
that he was willing to go to the council or the commissioners and ask for $10,000 of economic development money, the lotto money that they have for economic development. And because there will be a large number of organizations countywide that will be asking for this, a piece of that chunk of money, that it was necessary for an application. And so this is in support of the county commissioner asking the council, and he's going to speak firmly to see that this goes through. Is that?
Yes, they needed an application from us to, as it's a standard protocol. It's just like now, if you want some money from the city council, you've got to fill out a financial form, and it has to be vetted, and then you have that financial form. The county has a similar process for these monies.
So we don't need any council action on the grant?
No.
At some point, we're probably going to need to make a commitment of $10,000 or some sum of money in order to assure the complement.
Rick has laid out a time frame, mm-hmm. to make this happen, where we finally wind up with budgeted money as part of a plan to move forward on this by the 1st of July. There are some things that we need to do. For instance, one piece of information is that the county has moved forward on terminating Liggy. And the at this point in time, we have developed a whole strategy with bylaws, with structure and everything that we can put in place as a replacement for LIGI, and it's called the Pine Industrial Economic Development Group. Pine Economic Development Group, which comes out to be LEDGE, and this time frame is has in it the city council committing to a $10,000 to match the county's $10,000, which is $20,000 or a half a year of money it takes to manage a marketing half-time FTE or half-time person.
No, that's right. You got it.
Yeah.
We're looking, I think the proposal on the table now is that between the city and the county, if we follow the kind of the direction we're going, is that over the course of a year that we'd have a half-time person that would be committed to doing promotion of the industrial park, and I think some other economic development for the city as well. And that person, a part-time person, would be about $40,000 a year, with some, you know, hopefully assistance maybe from Sun River. We certainly want them to be at the plate or the table, if we can. That was for you.
I think that we've actually performed the first item number one, authorize some formal approval, commitment, or support for the city manager and city council from them about allocating the $10,000, and we basically push that into January on the new council, but have committed to it as a consensus of support. Okay? Any further?
Two more items, just real quick. One is a discussion on the council vacancy. As you know, we have Don leaving and Dan leaving the council after very successful run, both of them, and no one ran for their open seats, and so there was a write-in, and we had a write-in gentleman, and he is here with us this evening, and he will go through the secret rites of passage to be on the council, and then interestingly, that will have you have four people, but as you can see, there's five of you. So the four remaining counselors will choose a fifth person to serve the second vacancy. And so, as I understand it, we put out notices and we're asking people if they're interested in serving in that capacity. And I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
Well said.
Correction, we have not put out anything.
Okay.
Well, we do need to do that.
We do need to do that, and we're intending to do that. And we would welcome the public who would like to serve in that capacity, or know someone serving that capacity, offer them up.
We just need to do that.
That's
faster.
And is there any particular thing that they need to do? They just need to fill out an application. Is that not correct?
Yes, we would put it on the website. We could put it in the newspapers to advertise for applications. This would be an appointment in the second half of the mayor's seat. That's the vacancy that we have available.
Okay. And we have an application form already?
Yes, we have an application form. We have one application.
Okay.
For the council's questions here, I'll clarify. The seat that becomes available for appointment by the council is my seat. Because I ran on a separate ticket as mayor. But my election originally was for a four-year term as counselor. By vacating that council seat to become mayor, That leaves that open at our first meeting in January.
And then finally, this was forwarded to me. There's a Sustainable Cities Initiative, and I haven't looked into that very much. Do you know more about it, Mayor?
I really don't. I read this, and it is a it's an annual program.
Looks like a partnership.
It is that, and it has benefits of grant money. And I thought when I sent it, and I sent it to all the counselors, it was for information, and I'll just read a paragraph here. The Sustainable Cities Year Program is a one-year partnership between the University of Oregon and a city, community, or special district in Oregon. Partners propose a list of challenging sustainable projects issues which are tackled by creative, passionate students and facilities and faculty across multiple disciplines. 2013-14 will be the fifth SCYP year. It's an opportunity for us to have a cadre of individuals to help us with city issues, city projects, etc. And it goes on to explain what the rest of the rest of the partnership is. So,
well, I'll give them a call and see, you know, what the parameters are and what the opportunities are. And if I see something here, I'll report back.
Okay.
So we can go for it, because clearly we can use all the help we can get.
And that was my intent.
Okay.
You know, we ought to look at these things as they come along.
I agree.
Are there any other topics?
I'm done. Thank you very much.
Okay. Committee reports? Todd, have you got anything from the...
I say no, I missed the meeting because I was ill.
Well, that's right. You didn't get to make the one up in Mockingbird.
Right.
Okay. Hearing no committee reports, council comments?
I have a question. Regarding the sign board that's out there, I know at one point we brought that up and we weren't sure who was in possession of that, who was to change that, who updated it, and I guess I still don't know.
Well, let me tell you what I know about it, and that is, I believe it was some sort of a joint venture between Renee Knapp and the Ford Foundation, and I'm not sure who put up all the money, but it's a sign, it's on public property, but for practical purposes, it's a private sign, and I guess the, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but that the sign gets paid for with the placards that are placed up there, and that Renee will make a placard. And I guess it's into perpetuity. Once she makes it for that event, she cares for it and puts it up the proper time of year. And I believe she charges $150, $175 for that service. And then that's sort of a reader board that tells you a pertinent event as it occurs in our community. Now, one of the things that we're looking to do as we do this workout in front this year, next year, we're going to improve the frontage. We're going to put lighting out there. And the thought was that we'd have some lighting for the landscaping. We're looking to put a flagpole out there, maybe light the flagpole, and then possibly run the lighting down and have some lighting for that signage. So as you enter town, you see it lit up and it tells you 24 hours a day what events are out there, rather than like this time of year where you'd only get about 10 hours worth of view of it. So that's sort of the early planning. But yeah, it's a strange deal where somebody has placed a sign on our property and we don't have an agreement with it. But I haven't pushed real hard because, you know, it's just another thing out there. Just another anomaly within our community. Do I know more?
Just, well, the only thing, I mean, you're pretty right, I think. My understanding is that Renee has agreed, CAP, has agreed to...
Has agreed to
whatever that fixed, that initial cost is, but then she will take it upon herself to change the dates or something, kind of modify it a little bit each year if it needs it.
Mm-hmm.
She has also asked, and I don't know if this is time or place, but if there would be a place here where she could store those upstairs or someplace where they'd be near the sign in a protected area so she wouldn't have to move them back and forth. So I'll throw that out.
Well, we just talked about it.
It's a great work session.
Yeah.
Item.
Okay.
Is there any further business to come before the council?
Yeah. Unless you guys decide to have another meeting. This is my last one. And I just want to express my appreciation to all of you on the council and staff and the public. It's a real honor to be able to serve in this way. And it's been educational. It's been fun. And I'm looking forward to being out there where Vicki is. And she and I are going to make life interesting for all of us.
I didn't realize it was your last one. That would
unless you can
place.
Have another meeting.
Conceivably, we could have a special meeting, but we're not looking for one right now.
Any other comments?
This is my last meeting too, and probably one of the last official acts that I'll have as president of the council. And I too wish to thank all of the staff all that they've done to assist me and help me, and also some of the council because I've gotten a lot of information from them. I'm kind of going to miss showing up at these meetings, but somebody near and dear to me says that I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I just want to thank everybody, and I want to thank the public too for the support that I received. I kind of thought that nobody out there knew that I had anything to do with the city at all, and then all of a sudden when I decided not to run again, I found out how many people know and how much support I had in the community, and I want to thank everybody in the community for that support.
Thanks for all of you.
Well, I just have to thank both of you for serving, for answering the call, and serving the town the way you have. You've balanced my thinking. You've helped me a lot. And I've grown to respect both of you, you know, to the highest degree. And actually, come to think of you as close friends. And, you know, I just, what it takes to sit up here and, you know, make the decisions takes a lot. And I know all of us struggle with some of the decisions that we've had to make because, you know, it's a yes or no. And, you know, sometimes you take it home and you lay there awake and you wonder if, you know, it was the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to let you know how much I appreciate both of you serving, and I don't know what I'm going to do with all my cookies now, but I just want to thank you.
Thank you.
Even though I'm the short timer, I couldn't have gotten through this without all the council, and especially Don and Dan that were always there if I needed somebody to talk to, and the no passing that saved my neck a few times. So I, for one, am going to miss you immensely, and I've tried to beg both of you to stay in some capacity, but she won't let you.
And she won't let you either.
So thank you.
The same goes for me. I think it's been an honor serving these two gentlemen. They both brought magnificent insight and intelligence and dedication and passion to the council. When three of us came to the council, we all agreed to be able to disagree. I think we've seen that in both of these, Dan and Don. We've been able to disagree and not let it affect us. I think they've been great contributors to the movement of the city in the last 2 years that I've been here, and it's been an honor to serve with them. I too absolutely will miss both of them. It was just, but I understand why they want to step back and what's involved there. So we will absolutely miss them. They've become friends, and it's going to be a trying new experience come January. There'll be a number of new people and a couple of old timers, if you can call 2 years old timers. We'll get through it, but I can tell you what, we've been able to move forward with a great deal of challenges successfully in these last 2 years, and I commend them both for a tremendous service they brought to this community. Thank you. And without further ado,
Mr. Mayor, before we move to adjourn, I'd like to ask the council and the public to join me. I said a moment of silence for the victims of the shooting that occurred in Portland the other day.
Well taken. And if you'll join us in a moment of silence. Seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
You want that? I think that's